As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Phil Simms in studio with us. So we had to take a break when Boomer was talking about Shedeur Sanders and, you know, growing up with Deion as your father and being in the spotlight and how that could translate to the NFL. But it seems like there are some people that maybe don't like that part of Shedeur Sanders, maybe a little bit too flashy. So if he drops, what, in your opinion, will be the reason why he drops?
Okay, here we go. First off, everybody's on TV. I don't understand why he's dropping. We had him here. Well, you had him there because you don't know. I don't mean to be that way, but, you know, people that are not in the NFL are making all these, this guy, oh, he's first, going to be the first quarterback, first pick of the draft. And then when they start the fall, they don't understand. Well, they start the fall, why? Because the NFL starts judging them. And their opinions, you know, everybody's calling everybody, and they get there and they go, oh, wow, I thought he was better than that. No, I'm not talking about Shedeur, anybody. But, and they just can't figure out why somebody's falling. So, you know, that's the first thing I like to always get off my mind.
So you don't think when you see, so if Shedeur gets drafted in the 20s, you don't see it as him falling. It's really that's where he should have ended up to begin with.
That's where the NFL said, yes. And listen, I have not heard one person in the NFL say that they think he's like a top 5 pick in the draft. And
I heard the exact opposite of that. Like, he is not a top 5 pick. He's not worthy
of it.
That's
what he said.
That's what I said.
Yeah, you guys are agreeing. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on, Boomer. Stay with me, baby.
I am, man. You got me. You're all over the place. You got me.
Celsius or something.
No. It's all good. But
no. I just the thing about Shedeur was, I know that you and I saw a couple of the games that he played.
Yes.
And I remember Louis Riddick was doing those games. And, you know, this is also a guy that Deion Sanders said the Jets should have hired as their GM.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's a little of that going on. There's a little bias going on here. And I understand all that. And you're friends with somebody, you, especially when you're talking about their kid. The last thing you want to do is insult anybody. But if you just evaluate everything about the way that Shedeur plays, he's got to quicken his game up. But I do think he has that thing inside of him that,
yeah,
that is hard to measure. And Patrick Mahomes had that thing inside of him. He played baseball with his dad on Major League Diamonds when he was like 6 years old, you know, shagging fly balls from major leaguers. So how he's not intimidated. So I would think that Shedeur has this thing in his mind, which is, I think, is a positive, is that I can do it at any level because I have done it at every level. Now, I would also say there's a level of entitlement with him that, you know, he's got the Mercedes, he's got the bling, he's got all the money, he's got all the, they just retired his jersey at Colorado. I mean, he's got all of that. And that, to me, could also scare off some teams, I would think.
Look, he has great pride, and great pride is what you want. Somebody that's going to do whatever he has to do or to make everybody to get where he wants to go. If I had to say this to both of you, will he be the second quarterback taken If I had to bet on it, I'd say yes. He's going to be the second guy taken.
I still swear that he would be perfect for the Raiders. Even though they have Geno Smith and they gave Geno Smith an extension, fine, that's right. Good. Let Shador sit and watch Geno, you know, that kind of thing. I could still see him in a Raiders uniform.
Yeah, I guess I understand that thought. But, you know, listen, let's be honest. Geno Smith's really good. Okay,
he's really good. But they gave him an okay contract. I mean, it's nothing great.
They're trying to make the transition. Pete Carroll's not going to go 5 years with the Raiders. So you got that going. But, you know, it'll be the big thing about Shador. Well, if he's there, will Pittsburgh take him? That would be one, right? Or the really big one is the New Orleans Saints at 9. Now, if I got Boomer, not to take anything away from you, Gio.
It's okay.
But if we looked at their roster, you'd go, oh, they need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. They got a terrible secondary.
They just lost one of their offensive linemen, too.
Yeah, he retired. Just keep going. So you're going to draft a quarterback into that? You know, so.
And you're going to expect that quarterback to start? Like, if Derek Carr is out for the year, you're going to throw a rookie quarterback into the middle of the Saints as a starting quarterback? Forget it. Right now, that is not a place that I would want a rookie quarterback to start.
To me, it's almost a start over with New Orleans. I tell you, they've been fighting the cap for years and pushing it down the road. I don't even know what it is. You're the cap guy. I never look at the money because
they're always in the worst situation when the season's over. When they project out. Right. And then next thing you know, they start re-signing some roster bonuses and getting it down. They're always like $1 underneath the salary cap before they have to pay their rookies.
Let me just say this about Shador, though. I think in the pocket, he's very good with his movement. He has not good feet. He has great feet bouncing around and moving in the pocket. He does leave too early. He's a one-read guy too often. They don't have the passing game, the medium passing game. It's either short or throw it really deep. And, I mean, it's almost every single game. Huh. It's a lot of screens, breaks outside the pocket, takes too many. When you take a lot of sacks outside the pocket, what does that mean? That means you're holding
indecision,
it.
Yeah,
you don't throw it away. That's what you know, that'd be the first thing you get when you're watching film. Why didn't you throw it away? Well, you know, I don't know what he was thinking, but he does have a strong arm. I hear two things. One, that he's not that big, and he doesn't have a great arm. I think his arm is plenty good in the NFL. And to me, I want to meet him. He looks big on the field and the way he plays. So,
but he's not going to be a top five draft pick.
No, he's not.
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, if the Giants had the 12th overall pick or something, or like the 18th overall, or they traded back up and somehow ended up with one of those picks and he was still there and they took him, I could see that.
Can I get one more pet peeve in?
Sure, yes, absolutely.
I love this. Some people, you know, pro days and these workouts are stupid. What does that mean? And I just go, you like this? And I just go, we don't want to get a better look and really find out more about him? Yeah, let's just be stupid and sit back here and do what the fans think. They'll tell us who to draft.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
This is my favorite version of Phil Simms.
This is what I do all the time, so I don't know.
When you go into the dummy voice, like, oh, they're doing the prize.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I hear it every year. Well, I don't know. No, I want to see I want the combine. I want to see him run. I want to see him throw. And I want to see it at the pro day. And then I want to see it in the private workouts.
And you also want to see it on a whiteboard. You want to talk everything. Ball with him. You want to talk defenses. You want to talk offenses. You want to say, hey, why did you throw the ball here? Why did you hold on to the ball there? You want to go through the whole entire process.
And I want to hear this. I want to make sure I hear that playing and everything is everything to him.
Yep.
I don't want to say life and death. I do say that sometimes to people, but that's too harsh. But you got to be that way. Boomer, you know that. Damn, I'm going to tell you, Gio, it's not hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, and nowadays, they're looking for the kid that is really committed. They really want the kid that's committed. And I blame Peyton Manning on that because Peyton Manning took it to a whole nother level when it came to preparation and things.
Well, this is a good segue into what Pete in Brooklyn wants to talk about because there was a story about Will Howard throwing the ball in the after the combine in the parking lot for hours, and that's what Pete wants to talk about. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Morning, boys. I was watching John Gruden. He's having these things on YouTube profiling the top 10 quarterbacks, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And he gets to Will Howard, wins the Big 12 with Kansas State, wins the national championship with Ohio State. He's 6'4", 235. And I'm asking myself, the Giants wouldn't want this guy in the second round instead of wasting or burning a top three pick on iffy Shador?
Well, they're not going to burn a top three pick. And what round did he say?
He said second for Will Howard.
No.
Where do you see him going?
Maybe third. Listen, he's big. He did play much better in the playoffs because they let him. So that's one thing. But, you know, he's not a – I don't look at him and see a top-line NFL thrower. I think he's an – I think he was a solid college thrower of the football. And that doesn't mean it's going to translate to the NFL in my eyes. Now, his offseason has been better than I probably expected. I watched him throw a lot in the offseason. It did look better. He has gotten better. But to me, second round, I would not take Will Howard.
Okay. I mean, in this quarterback class we talk about compared to last year's quarterback class.
Oh, my gosh.
It's night and day. I mean, we're right.
Yeah, who's the Bo Nix of this class? You told me last year before the draft that you had a sneaking suspicion that Sean Payton was going to draft Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Like, you told me that you heard from Sean directly that he loved Bo Nix. Like, you were, like, all over that.
Yeah.
Well, is there a Bo Nix in this draft, like, that could be, you know, just come out of nowhere and end up in the first round? Is that Tyler Shuck?
Yeah, that would be him. It would be Tyler Shuck. Yes. He does move around. Listen, he ran the 4.6. He was at least had the courage as a quarterback to run the 40 at the combine. Okay? But he is fast. And he does have a sneaky good arm. And like I said, of Jackson Dart, Shador Sanders, and him, I think he's probably the best thrower of the football of the three.
You know, it was interesting. I was talking to Frank Reich, who took over the job at interim head coaching job at Stanford. That's a whole other story we need to talk about one day. But he said that there were a couple of quarterbacks that he had studied over the years and were willing to draft. And a couple of those guys, and I don't want to name names because I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but a couple of times he would sit down and go over film with certain guys. And one of the guys that he went over film with said, you know, coach, how long are we going to do this? He said, well, I don't know. I got 4 hours scheduled. He goes, 4 hours. He goes, what are we going to do in 4 hours? We're going to go over this? Is this what it's like in the NFL? He goes, oh, it's worse than this in the NFL. In the NFL, is every day it's 8 hours and sometimes 10. And, you know, for us as coaches, it could be 16 hours a day trying to figure out, you know, how to win a football game. That's how important it is. And that's when he knew, when that quarterback questioned the amount of time that they were going to spend watching tape. And he just said, this guy's not my guy.
No,
I'm off of him immediately.
Every team in the NFL would get off of him if they found out. Hey, so, you know, we talk about these quarterbacks and all this. Just think of this. Sam Darnold. How about that? Turned his career around. Good time in the NFL. Better coaching. Had a chance to succeed. He did. How's Baker Mayfield doing? Two of them are on the team together and sitting on the bench. Who was playing then?
Sam Darnold was playing, but then...
No, they both were sitting on the bench, and they had PJ... Oh, gosh, I can't think of his name. He was starting. The other two guys who had really good... have turned their careers around was sitting on the bench. Geno Smith, he's in the garbage. Look what he's doing. Bryce Young, it's over. Rookie year. How's that working out? Jared Goff, oh, he can't throw. Pretty good now, isn't he? So, you know, a lot of times these quarterbacks... in the second team is when they really start to show because they've been in the league long enough and they've kind of made their talent better.
Are we going to see that with Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts?
I think it's very possible. Their offense, if it doesn't, then Daniel, it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, but the offense does fit him.
He should have stayed in Minnesota. And I thought that was what was going to happen. I don't know. And he probably thought that there was a better chance that he could beat out Anthony Richardson because he had already played miserably as opposed to J.J. McCarthy, who they drafted number 10 and hadn't played yet. But if I'm Daniel Jones and J.J. McCarthy's coming off that injury, I'm going to go out there and try to win that job in that offense and do what Sam Darnold did and go get a humongous contract even bigger than that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Kevin O'Connell... this whole thing, you know, that he couldn't. He loves Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And so you're in a spot where if the starter gets a little struggles, then you know you're going to have a chance to get in there right away. So,
and plus, Kevin O'Connell's the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
And he's going to put you in a good situation. And we saw that with Sam Darnold, even though the last two games of his Minnesota career didn't go over that well.
The bad thing, too, is when you look at Anthony Richardson, there's such opposites in the way they play and who they are. That makes it difficult on the coaching staff and everybody else, too, I think. You know, so we'll see.
We got plenty more to get to with Phil Sims, including what the Jets are going to do. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Phil Sims in studio.
Can I ask him a question real quick before we get to Jerry?
Okay. I had this whole thing set up.
I'm sorry. No, it's all right. You do your thing.
When you get mad at Boomer.
I'm not
Go
getting
ahead.
Mad. I just, yeah, there was are. A one time I was ready to do this whole thing for him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, so last week you, well, first of all, thank you to CBS.
Yes.
For providing breakfast for your birthday because you weren't here on your birthday. You were sick.
They sent me my favorite?
I believe so.
I hear it's in there. I haven't looked yet, but that's what they're claiming. Yeah.
So it came from Zucker's.
Came from correct. Zucker's.
The jelly donut.
The salmon?
No. The salmon. He likes the lox.
Hey, what?
Calm down over there, cuz.
He loves himself some lox.
Look at that. Look at him.
He loves it. He cracks himself up.
He does.
He really does. So that was very nice. So it reminded me when I said, oh, CBS for Boomer's birthday. I was like, oh, that's right. Al did something very nice for Boomer on his birthday that Boomer didn't get a chance to hear. So take it away, Al.
Boomer is older, still has his hair. I am freaking bald. Boomer still has lots of his testosterone. My results are dry as a bone. Boomer stays up till 2:45. Checks the Rangers score. I hope you still need me. Oreos feed me. Boomer's 64.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's very good, Al.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Man.
You're going to be 70, aren't you?
In November. Let's don't rush it.
All right, okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, you're okay.
Got to have a big party for that.
I can't wait. Yeah, because you know why? It's the get out of jail free card.
Birthday, 70?
Yeah, you just got, well, you know, I'm old. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, old men pass that off. Oh, sorry, you know, I'm old.
Right. You don't want to do anything. That's what Al's been waiting for. It's like, no, you're still, you look like you're 42. Al wishes he looks 30 years older than him. He can say no to everything. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so before Jerry, you want to ask Phil a question.
Yeah, but I forgot what it was. No, actually, I know what it is.
Boy, so, he's right. 64, huh?
No. In 2007, I started this job here at WFAN.
Right.
September of 2007. Do you remember where you were April of 2007 and who you were with during draft day?
In 2007?
Yep, 2007 NFL draft.
You. Yeah.
You were with me.
Yes.
And do you remember who the first pick of that draft was?
Oh, yes. Oh, we were talking Jamarcus Russell.
That's exactly right.
Oh, we didn't tell that story yet?
No.
Well, tell them what you did. We're in a break.
Right. We were in a break.
And you
reminded me, and I said, so what do you think about Jamarcus Russell? Would you take him with the first pick?
And I said, no, I'm never going to draft a quarterback that has fat rolls on the back of his neck.
Exactly, you know what you said.
And so, but I'm telling him this off the air. Yeah. And we come back and that's Boomer Esiason back. Phil, you said he's got, you know, I'm like, damn, Boomer. I said this in confidence. Of course, here I am now.
Yes.
Telling the world. But.
Right. No, I brought us back. I forget, what were we doing it on MSG?
MSG.
We were doing it on MSG.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was draft day. It was when the draft was going on, or was it?
Yeah, it was in New York, the draft. No, we did it before the getting ready to start. We talked about it.
So we were there when it was live, that first, I think, all those first round picks, I think.
is when we did it.
Yeah.
So you came right out of the break. Going on,
Phil. Oh, yeah. Phil said, did you say something about the fat rolls in the back of Jamarcus Russell?
Man, you know, Jamarcus Russell, I told y'all also what I checked in on him out in Las Vegas, not Las Vegas, in Oakland after his rookie year, and whatever, I'll leave it at that. So I was right.
You said, how's Jamarcus doing? Well, he's got two Bentleys.
Okay.
Doing great.
I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, but he's got two Bentleys.
Right. But that goes to the point where they want to make sure if they're going to be drafting a guy high, that he is so committed to the
team. Well, he was high when they drafted him.
Oh, they did.
It's a different kind of high.
Nick Saban said when they brought him to LSU, he goes, he'll either be the first pick of the draft or he won't even play here. It was like, what's going to happen? So.
All right, Jerry, what's going on over there, man?
What is going on? We're brought to you by the New York Auto Show. Visit autoshowny.com. I got Dave Sims on both these controversial calls. So I left the hit that was ruled an error, the error that was a hit, whatever. I left this long, and we talked about Michael Kay. Thought it should be called a hit immediately. Yes. Here was Dave Sims, the full call.
And a pitch. Breaking ball hit to the right side. We're going to do it again off of Paulie's glove. Fried was over there. He was doing his job. And it rolled up Paul's glove. And Simpson is aboard. That'll be an E3 third error today by the Yankees. And
so really didn't skip a beat. He called it an error right away. Maybe it was right as they scored it. I'm not sure. But that was in the call. And then in terms of the judge hits the, and obviously this was changed in the eighth
inning.
And
by the way, there's no way, even if Goldschmidt gets the ball, there's no way they're getting the runner out.
Well, that's the whole
point.
Simpson's
too fast. He's way too fast.
Yeah. And Fried was slow getting over.
Well, that's kind of like
the Yankee way.
Thing. The Yankee way. That's the Yankee pitcher's way. Yeah.
He actually, in all fairness, he would have been late. They wouldn't have made the play, but Fried did hustle over there.
I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying he was going to be late. Here was the home run that wasn't.
Yeah, here's a 3-2. Here's a drive deep down the left field line. Hit a mile, but he hooked it foul. Aaron Judge. He's challenging this.
It looks like it. We can't see from him. We have no clue.
All right, so let me ask you this question. They were talking about the foul poles being in Major League ballparks being taller.
That's right. That's what Judge said.
We can't put a taller foul pole.
It may not.
A Major League baseball team playing there.
I agree.
They should be Major League foul.
But even minor league teams should have a regular foul pole. That doesn't make any sense.
Why do you think the foul pole is short, Jerry?
I don't know, Boomer.
Definitely budget
spot. But it's the Yankee Stadium.
I mean, should Major League Baseball say, hey, you know, everything has to be Major League level. Like, what are they doing out in Sacramento?
I thought they were.
Sacramento got short foul poles, Jerry?
I don't know, Boomer. Not sure.
I didn't notice them being short when the Mets were playing out there, but then again, we didn't have an incident like this.
Right. Oh, by the way, the Yankees did win 4-0. Here was, I'll give you one, Trent Grisham on, Aaron Judge on Fried. So they changed the error to a hit, and as Judge says, Fried did not care.
I don't think Max cares about that kind of stuff. He's worried about going out there helping the team, helping us win. You know, he pitched a heck of a game, so I think he's happy coming away with a win, especially in a spot like this against the Rays, who, you know, they always give us a tough three game.
That's enough. You get it. So the Yankees are 14-8. They'll play in Cleveland tonight. We'll have another fan early start, 6:10. So you can, if you're a Knick fan, you can watch much of the Yankee game and maybe the whole thing, and then get to the Knick game in time for halftime or maybe the second quarter.
What time is the Yankee game?
6:10 it starts.
I thought the Knick game started at 6:30.
7:30.
Oh, 7:30.
Which is really 7:45 probably, I would think.
Right.
So you got a good hour and a half to get, so maybe you get to the Knick game late second quarter, something like that.
What happens if I'm a Met fan?
Well, I said if you're a Yankee fan. If you're a Met fan, you're a little more screwed.
Because
they start at 7:10.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's why I said if you're a Yankee fan.
But I could watch box in a box in a box, multi-view.
You could do whatever you like, yes. The Mets did win on Sunday as well.
1-2. Hit hard toward the middle. Base hit going into center. Lindor rounds third, sprinting home. The throw goes to second. Brandon Nimmo drives in the lead run. The Mets are back on top. RBI single. Soto goes to third. 4-3 Mets in the bottom of the seventh inning.
So the best
inning.
Part about all of this, you got a Nimmo key hit. You got a Soto key hit. Vientos couple key home runs over the weekend.
Right, Alonso, so everybody great over the weekend.
Everybody kind of chipping in. This Lindor. Is what you got to have. You got to have guys chipping in, Jerry.
Yes, Boomer. You got to have guys. You got to have guys chipping
that
in.
Little chip. You got to chip it in.
Chip it in.
Mets Phillies tonight, Boomer.
Philly suck it.
That's right. Philly suck it.
McGill,
right.
Aaron Nola, the starters there. Oh, big God. Story over the weekend happened between the Braves and Twins. The Braves beat the Twins yesterday 6-2, but on Saturday night they won 4-3. Along the way, you had this happen.
Kelnick to right. This will send Larnick back. Larnick will turn, and that is in plane off the wall. Larnick will fire into second base to catch the tag, and Correa is not there. Runner safe for now. To third goes Allen.
But they would check on it, and replay would show he was out. So replay also showed he was jogging out of the box. He was posing, thought it was a home run. It wasn't. They did win the game, so maybe not as bad as it could have been. Post game, here was Kelnick. Yeah, my bad on that. That was a bad look.
In that situation, like I know better than that. You know, I kind of got caught up in the moment. You know, thought I got enough of it, obviously. No excuse.
And that's what he kind of continued to say, kind of took ownership of it. Brian Snitker kind of dismissed it after the game, but then Sunday morning, meeting the media again, and the Ronald Acuna posts on Twitter. Snitker was with the media once again and had a different take on it. It was kind of caught by surprise.
Quite honestly, I don't look for him to not do because he plays with his hair on fire all the time and he's laying out. And I didn't know it till I saw this morning. I went in and I looked at it when I got here, and then I had a discussion with him and we got it squared away.
And I will say the audio is not great. The reporters peppered him though on why it was not okay for Acuna, but he's having this tact with Kelnick, and he said circumstances were different. Clearly, they won the game, which probably helps too. But so that was the Braves story. Now, how about a story about how fast time flies? Now, I mean, my God, he's going to be 70 this year. You just turned 64. I'm in my 50s. Al looks younger, but he's retiring in a year. Well, 12 years ago, we had sad news this morning as the Pope passed away.
Yes.
Got the news around 4 a.m. But this, if you can believe that this was 12 years ago.
We have a Pope, huh? Wow. Okay, so we have a Pope. There we go. So let me know what that means in terms of how long. Is it an hour? Is it a half hour? How long before they announce it? I don't think there's going to be a leak out of the room. I mean, I would think not. But until they make an announcement. There it is. White smoke coming from the Sistine Chapel. We have a Pope.
My favorite part about this, having heard it not that long ago, was, oh, they went with an older Pope. Oh, see, that, wow. Argentinian, they went with the older Pope. Okay, well, okay. Thought maybe they go with the younger Pope, just had an older Pope, but they went with the older Pope. We're back.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, 12 years ago, how fast time goes.
Do you know how many popes there have been?
Oh, gosh, no.
It's got to be over 200.
266, I believe.
Sports wow, Minute?
Really? Sports Minute. Yes, that's not a Sports Minute, no.
Yeah. Mm. Who was your favorite Pope?
Mm.
John Paul.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first Catholic. Or second?
The fourth. No idea.
Well, you went to St. John Vianney. You should know.
Who was the first Pope?
Peter.
Pope Peter.
For God, that's not religious. You have a lot of religious answers.
Know thine enemy.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, man. All right, tonight at the Garden, game two between the Knicks and the Pistons. Here was Tom Thibodeau. Postseason begins, and now maybe this is the real Knicks. Who knows?
I thought our defense got us going. We got some stops. We got into the open floor. We got some easy scoring up.
A lot more of what they looked like last year in this game, especially in the fourth quarter. Here was the Pistons head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. We just have to figure out how to finish games.
I mean, we were the better team for three quarters, I thought. And again, you know, these are learning lessons for us, and we have to be honest with ourselves when it comes to that. We talked pregame about what experience is. And
well, they have some now after that complete collapse where they were outscored 21-0. Meantime, the Warriors beat the Rockets 95-85. Steph Curry had 31. Jimmy Butler had 25. Here was Butler. That is more Curry magic.
Like I always say,
Batman comes out of nowhere. You never see him coming. Then he just falls from the sky, from a building, behind a door, and does some incredible things, man. He's going to be the reason that we do win at all. We all know that, but we got to protect him at all costs.
And that was on TNT postgame, and so the Warriors a 1-0 series lead. The Cavaliers buried the Heat 121-100. Didn't realize this nice tie-in between Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome. Mitchell had 30, Jerome had 28. These guys go back a long, long way. Here was Mitchell. Do I have it? I might not have it.
Well, we go back a long, long way.
No, I know, but yeah. I did not put it in, so therefore we're not going to hear from him. But it's kind of cool. They were been friends since they're 8 years old, and they played on basketball teams together and all sorts of things. So would have been cool to hear it, but we won't. Hurricanes beat the Devils 4-1. We've heard a couple of calls for Matt Lachlan. Here's another.
Off the draw. Chatfield with a shot. He scores. From the blue line, it's 1-0 Carolina.
Yeah, it happened early in this game too, right? From right in the first period. Matt Lachlan on Devils Radio. They would tack on a couple more, take a 3-0 lead. Carolina would win 4-1. Timo Meier says, good for them. They played their game. We didn't.
That's their strength, right? They get a lot of shots, and they're good at kind of keeping you on low shots. We know that going into the series.
But didn't
everybody
do much about
says
it.
The same thing about the Hurricanes when they play them. They get a lot of shots. I'm like, why can't my team ever say, we get a lot of shots?
Well, I'm not as good.
That's a big part of it.
You're right.
So 4-1 the final as they take game one. The Rangers fired head coach Peter Laviolette over the weekend. And a nice, exciting finish for the RBC Heritage with Jim Nance.
Is it the winning putt? Here it comes. Yes, it is. Justin Thomas. Back in the winner's circle.
And that was on CBS yesterday. And in the winner's circle, that means he spoke to Amanda post-match on CBS. He was a little emotional, as you say. You know, he hasn't won in a while. So it was kind of cool for him again.
Winning's hard. It's really, really hard. I've worked my butt off and stayed patient, stayed positive. Got a great wife, great team, and now a great daughter. He's got her eyeball showing right now, but
and he was all red-eyed as well because
I mean, what is going on with all these guys crying? Did you cry when you left the Giants?
No,
I didn't think so. See, that's a man, right there.
Yeah, no.
Who do we
peeling out of the parking lot with his middle finger on?
No. Who? It was Matt Martin, right? He was crying last.
Yeah,
week?
He was crying last night.
I've been so proud to wear this jersey. Be a part of this team and community, and sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Did you ever hear the Mike Schmidt one when he retired?
Mike Schmidt?
Yes.
No, I don't think I did. Played a lot of golf with him.
Some 18 years ago, I left Dayton, Ohio with two very bad knees and a dream to become a Major League Baseball player. I thank God that dream came true.
I mean, you know. And then there's another famous one that I know that you heard of.
I love all of you guys. And then lastly, thank you. This is unbelievable.
I don't know who it is.
That's Chris Carlin. Media superstar Chris Carlin.
Is it really?
Leaving yes. SNY. Yeah.
Oh, leaving okay. SNY, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry. How you doing?
It's an emotional day for all of us.
Yes.
When we left there.
Yes.
It's like, no more beer money, damn it. There you go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A little more time with Phil Sims. I do want to get into some of these other players as we talked about the quarterbacks. Who he thinks the best player in the draft is, all that stuff coming up after 9 o'clock. But I was just informed that you know, all this stuff was supposed to happen last week for your birthday, and we're starting to see all of it come to fruition this morning. Wow. Al Song, the Zucker's Bagels, and also CBS Sports. Yes. CBS Sports also got you something else here. It's a little gift that...
CBS Sports did this?
Yeah, CBS Sports did this.
Is it a parting gift?
Well, we know it's not cash.
Okay, so it says. Okay.
Oh, what is that?
A Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Goldilocks with L-O-X. Right. See that?
Here's a salmon.
A salmon.
Yes.
All right, very good.
Okay, we have this.
Is that a whitefish?
I guess it's a whitefish. I'm not a big whitefish guy, but no worries. And then there's a note. Who knows what the note says? Boomer, sorry, got the locks last time. Should last you a while. Happy birthday to CBS Sports Network.
Very okay.
Nice. It's very nice.
Wow, CBS Sports Network. That was great. They really think a lot of you.
Yeah. Stuffed you know fish. What? They think more of me than they do you.
Yeah, of course they do. Yes, yes. I'm out there, you know, going, doing bar mitzvahs and everything for $5. Hey, Boomer, you know, of course, you know, every time I do a speech, I literally, the first 3, 4, 5 minutes, it depends on how the reaction, it's always good. I kill him.
Right, yeah.
And but when I get done, which he doesn't, people don't text him, I say, look, I'm just kidding. And I say, Boomer's really a nice guy. I say all these nice things afterwards. It hurts me a little, but I do say it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that calls in that are at these things, oh, you should have heard Phil killing you.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it goes back and forth. I mean, Boomer will sit here, kill you here. You don't have as many hours on the radio to kill him, so it's only fair.
Yeah, it is.
You get those opportunities.
Well, but, you know, when I say it to the audience, I said, okay, somebody text him.
You know, and sure enough, I get text messages.
I know you do.
Right from your audience. You do most of your stuff locally.
Yeah,
I was in San Antonio about a month ago.
Boomer.
I was in San Antonio a month ago, and I'm checking in, and a guy goes, hey, Phil, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. Screw off.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, so I opened my speech by saying, you know, hopefully a lot of you here aren't disappointed that I'm not Phil Simms because I got recognized as Phil Simms yesterday.
Okay.
And it's always a good icebreaker to go that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I got to start somewhere. I always said, you got to crush a few people before you start talking.
Right? Exactly.
There's always somebody at the, whatever you're doing speaking, there's always somebody I just go, okay, I'm going to take care of him quick. But you know what I mean?
Because they're course, like, yes,
hey, Phil, can you be here at 9:01? We're going to be in. Oh, God.
No, you just.
Yeah, but you always show up early. That's a good thing about you. Yeah. You're trustworthy that way.
Sometimes.
Some other guys aren't. But so let me ask you this question. We talk a lot about the Giants.
Yes.
The Jets.
Yes.
Okay, so they signed Justin Fields. First and foremost, what do you think of that signing?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
I think it'll be. Listen, the Jets are going to be a different organization and a different team. In every aspect, the coach on the sideline is going to be all over everything. Aaron Glenn's going to coach offense, defense, every player. He's going to be, and I'm sure he's going to be a little emotional too over there. You know, he's got that mouth that he learned from Bill Parcells.
Yeah. So, let me ask a question. How much are they talking right now?
Oh, I think they talk enough where Aaron ever has a question, he calls Bill Parcells, I would think.
And I feel like this, I was telling Gio this, that when Aaron got the job and you saw the press conference and you saw how in command he was,
yes.
Somebody told him that he had to be this way. I want to say in control. I want to say he was positive. He was confident, but he also wasn't making platitude statements.
Right.
Like, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, you know, or something like that. But so I feel like the influence of Bill Parcells is evident throughout the organization.
He's been groomed. So he is going to be that way, just like Sean Payton. Sean Payton can't go 5 minutes without doing a Bill Parcells quote.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the sideline in preseason, if you don't wear a hat, I don't want to see any. Remember when he said, I don't want to see any Gilligan hats?
I don't remember that.
The bucket hats.
The bucket hats. No, he called them Gilligan hats.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Gilligan.
This was Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. And you couldn't wear sunglasses. You had to have your uniform on. I mean,
don't take your shoulder pads off. None of that stuff.
No, they can. You don't have to wear shoulder pads if you're not going to play.
Okay.
He gives them that. But Aaron Glenn. You know, you guys have been to Jet practices.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's going to be totally different. It's going to be.
I say this every year we're there, though. It's like, oh, it's going to be different this year.
Well,
it feels different this year. Rob Saleh comes in. It feels different. Then it's never different.
Well, this is different.
Okay.
If nothing else, the personality and how they go about their work is going to be different. You saw Hard Knocks in Detroit when they were down there.
Yep.
So Aaron Glenn has learned from Dan Campbell and Bill Parcells. Remember when they had that great practice down in Detroit where they were just hitting for the whole practice?
Yeah.
And Dan Campbell started crying, going like, we got to do this.
Yeah, he was doing the up-downs with the team, and then Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn were screaming at each other. I remember that,
And you know Bill Parcells thinks the world of Aaron Glenn. When I told you what he did when they were walking out of the tunnel, you know, Bill just took a massive shot at him when they were playing, when Aaron Glenn was still playing for the Jets. And when Bill does that, that means you're one of his dudes.
Right.
You know,
He looked over at Aaron Glenn. The story was he looked over at Aaron Glenn in the tunnel before they were getting introduced. He says, I can't believe I'm starting with a 5'8 cornerback. And that was just to get under his skin, but also to let him know that I believe in you, even though you are 5'8 and I expect you to be great.
Yeah, that's right. Now, don't be afraid today, Sims. You know, you go out there, you know, you're not going to cook. Don't be afraid. And, you know, he said this is true. In 84, my career is on the line with the Giants, and so is his career. They couldn't find a guy or a coach to take the job. So he got it by fault. And I'm walking out of the locker room, first game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's about as far as me and Boomer right here. And he looks at me and goes, Sims, if you don't throw at least two interceptions a day, you're not taking enough chances. And I go, well, I can take care of that. but you know, it was his way of going, you got to let it go. You know, you got to play with abandon and not be afraid and don't worry about winning and losing. Just play. And I think that's going to be Aaron
Glenn. Well, it's certainly the way his defense has always played. Like they were flying all over the place.
Well,
you know, and that's one of the reasons why I still go, when I go back to the Giants, I mean, why would you take Abdul Carter, assuming that both Cam Ward and Travis Hunter are taken?
All right, quick break. We'll come right back, talk some more draft.